Alrighty, well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Awesome Mania. I'm Michael Lindenbaum, and this lovely gentleman right here is the undisputed champion of Awesome Mania, Mr. Ben Taylor.
That's me. Hello, I'm Ben.
And of course, actually, Ben, we were talking about this. This is a special.
Yep.
It is for the Royal Rumble, which is this Sunday, January 27th at Chase Field, where a little later when we talk about the WWE title match, we'll talk about a burger that was unveiled.
Yes.
And our good friend Mike Jones is planning on having a heart attack with it.
I'm okay with that. More power to Mike Jones. Let's be fair.
But yeah, you got the Royal Rumble this weekend, you have TakeOver, and of course you have a Worlds Collide tournament, which will
That's Access, isn't it?
That'll be at Access, but they're right, going to...
I need to look that up because I'm not exactly sure who's in it.
So you got 5 from NXT UK, 5 from NXT, and 5 from 205 Live.
Yeah, but it's going to depend on who it is as to who I pick.
Right. But that'll happen at Access. That just got announced that it's going to air on the network on February 2nd.
Yep.
So, but with that, we get to look more towards TakeOver Phoenix, which will have 5 matches, and then, of course, the big one, the Royal Rumble.
So this is our first special. Yep. Not all of our prediction episodes are going to be specials. It's just that this so happens to fall on our off week. So we're going to do a special, basically.
It's like episode, 1.5, because of the fact that it's a special?
Yeah, we'll just call it like Royal Rumble Royal Rumble Weekend Prediction Special. Like, we don't need to give it a number. We just number the...
The real episodes.
The real episodes. Right, so do we want to predict Worlds Collide, or...?
Nah, let's not predict Worlds Collide, because the way that's going to happen... is they're doing a 15-man battle royal, and then the winner of that battle royal will get a first-round bye, but depending on how the eliminations happen, determines the bracket.
Right, okay.
So it's a little complex in that one, so it's like, oh, I think this person will go out first, and realistically, we're just kind of full of it because we don't even know what the real match is.
It's a very stacked tournament.
Velveteen Dream's in there.
So it's Adam Cole, Velveteen Dream, Dominik Dijakovic, Keith Lee, Shane Thorne, Mark Andrews, Tyler Bate, Travis Banks, Jordan Devlin, the greatest wrestler in the world, Zach Gibson, Cedric Alexander, Tony Nese, Drew Gulak, TJP, and Humberto Carrillo. So that's going to be an interesting thing to watch.
Definitely be interesting to see how all the different styles mesh with each other, too. But yeah, like I said, 15-man battle royal will predict it. Winner will get a first-round bye, and then they will do all the rankings.
I just had this image, because Gulak's thing is like no gimmicks kind of thing, isn't it? And him and Velveteen Dream could have some fun. Or no top rope moves, and him and Mark Andrews. Anyway.
So many possibilities.
Yeah, so do we want to do predictions for TakeOver or Royal Rumble first?
Let's do TakeOver first, because that, you know, we can just kind of work in the sequence from Saturday to Sunday.
So let's start with the only non-title match on TakeOver, which is Matt Riddle versus Cassius Ohno.
Yes.
Where do you stand on that one?
So this one,
who you got and why?
So I remember Riddle's debut was at the last TakeOver, and Ohno took exception to that. Riddle annihilated him in like 30 seconds, and they've been feuding ever since. I think because this is going to be Matt Riddle's first true TakeOver, and I think Riddle's going to go over for that fact alone. But one I do expect is that Ohno will put over Riddle. But I would like to see Ohno get the win at the same time, because he's never won I don't think he's actually ever won a TakeOver match.
No, okay.
Because he's lost to Lars Sullivan. He's lost to Velveteen Dream.
Yeah.
And I forget who else he's taken on TakeOver, but I don't think he's ever won.
The question here is whether they want to extend this feud. Right? But I don't see Ono Riddle being a money match for WrestleMania weekend. I see Riddle maybe in like a North American title match, maybe. Who knows? I'm going to pick Riddle. Just because I think it's not time for him to lose yet. More than it, I mean, it would be nice to see Cassius win, but I don't know.
I think with Riddle's going to get this win because, it, like as you mentioned, you don't see Cassius versus Riddle as a Mania weekend match.
No.
I think what it will do, though, is that with Riddle getting the win, it'll elevate him to potentially be, like you've said, North American title match at maybe WrestleMania weekend. So yeah. This could be that elevation that takes him up to that next spot.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. Next match, let's go with the tag title match. The Undisputed Era of Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong against Hanson and Rowe, the War... I very nearly said War Machine. War Raiders.
So, this is interesting because it also depends on what WWE plans on doing with Undisputed Era in the near future. Mm. Because could this be the first faction or first true group to be brought up to WWE after WrestleMania?
Yeah, but that's because after WrestleMania.
Yeah, but the thing is that do
looking
you want
them being brought up after WrestleMania shouldn't affect?
Well, no. Well, the reason I say it is because I think they're going to lose the titles and then try to chase and then lose that.
Hmm.
And then because I don't see Adam Cole getting another title. I don't see Bobby Fish getting a title. And the only thing that has to happen in order for Undisputed Era to be called up altogether is for Strong and O'Reilly to drop the tag titles.
Mm.
So I'm not saying they're going to lose, but I have a feeling they are.
I'm not going to be the guy.
I'm not going to be that guy, but I'm going to be that guy. Where I think...
But every single NXT champion that's got called up has gone out on their back. They haven't gone out after losing the title and then chasing it. They've gone out after losing the title.
Well...
Bobby Roode got called up after dropping the belt to Nakamura. Drew McIntyre got called up after dropping the belt to Andrade Cien Almas.
McIntyre was a different case though because he got hurt.
But he was still booked to drop it. That wasn't an in-ring change. The Ascension got called up after dropping the belts. The Revival got called up after dropping the belts. Like, they didn't... You see what I'm saying?
But Revival was chasing for the belts.
Well, Revival was slightly different because it wasn't a two-person feud.
That was AOP, DIY,
and the Revival. So that was more of a three-team feud. And that was the blow-off of the feud. Because the blow-off of the feud was DIY imploding. It wasn't sending away the Revival. Because I'm 90% sure with the way the Revival have been booked till now, no one knew they were getting called up. Right? Let's be fucking honest. Call a spade a spade. I'm going for the Undisputed Era. Mainly because War Raiders won at War Games. And I think Undisputed Era is going to win this time. And I think the blow-off will be Mania weekend. And I think that's where the Undisputed Era are going to get called up. They're going to drop the belts Mania weekend. And I think all four of them are going to show up on Raw or SmackDown as the Undisputed Era.
I think if they don't come up as Undisputed Era, they're making a mistake.
And they need to come up like on Raw the night after WrestleMania, because it will be the hottest crowd of all time, and the Adam Cole Bebe will be deafening. That is not to say I don't think we'll see Adam Cole in the Rumble, because I think we will. But that's a question I'll ask you later.
Yeah. Because there are some spots open for some surprise entrants. Mm-hmm. So, I think War Raiders with Undisputed chasing into Mania, because I think it would be a different take on it. Because they have...
Now, I think the Undisputed are going to win. It's not going to be clean. There's a reason Adam Cole isn't booked on this show. That's all I'm saying.
Why Bobby Fish isn't booked on the show?
Is they going to be selling being put through shit? Then let's move on to the women's title match, which is Shayna Baszler, the Queen of Spades, against the Fresh Princess, Bianca Belair. The EST of NXT. I don't even know what that means.
I think she's the best without the B. I don't know.
Right. Shayna.
Yeah, to be brutally honest, I'm actually not a big fan of Bianca Belair's.
Me either.
She has athletic ability. But and I'm just not into her as a wrestler. I'm not into her gimmick, and I hate that hair whip thing.
I am looking forward to her whipping Shayna Baszler with the hair, and Shayna just grabbing it out of the air and pummeling her fucking head in. Just driving her down to the mat and just raining elbows down. The other reason I don't think Shane is going to lose it here is I don't think it will be clean. I think Jessamine Duke and Maria Shiffner will get involved. And I think this rivalry will continue, because Belair is the only person on NXT right now that is a viable challenger to Baszler. Candice isn't really... They've got to take the next couple of months to build up someone to follow Belair. So.
And who would that be? Because now Dakota Kai's out for a while due to knee surgery.
Io Shirai. Candice LeRae. I would have said Lacey Evans, but they called her up. And she can't cut a promo to save her life. For proof, watch fucking Raw. She speaks so slowly. This is her cutting a promo. That's her. Like when she invaded on, like, go watch it on YouTube. That's how she says like three or four words and stops. Anyway,
like a Christopher Walken promo.
No, because it's a charismaless vacuum. With Walken, you at least know it's fun. That is Christopher Walken. Like, when she speaks, they're just words. Her gums are flapping, but she's not saying much, right? But yeah, my prediction is Shayna.
Yeah, I'm going with Shayna too.
All right. So, the US title, sorry, the North American title. Ricochet, the champion, facing off against Johnny Gargano, Jonathan Wrestling.
This is an interesting one, because I'm kind of torn, because I really love Johnny Gargano and I love how his character has turned to the dark side. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I also feel it's too early to take the title off of Ricochet. So I'm kind of torn on this. I really want Gargano to get it, because outside the tag team titles, he has not achieved that single success. Mm-hmm. But damn, he puts on hell of a match at TakeOver. Oh, it's so tough. I legitimately don't know which way I want to go on this one. The heart says Gargano, but the brain says Ricochet.
What you going with, fool?
Damn. Don't make me cry in the fetal position now, Ben.
It's your predictions contest, dude. Fucking predict.
I know. So, for the sake of predictions, I'm going to stick with the fact that I think it is a little too early to take the title off of Ricochet. I think Ricochet retains. But at the same time, going into the last match that we're going to talk about,
reasoning is because it's too early to take the title off Ricochet.
I think it's too early to take the title off of Ricochet, but it's going to be a hell of a match.
I think it'll be match of the night.
Oh, yeah.
So, I too am going with Ricochet, but for different reasons.
You tell.
I think Ricochet is going to beat Gargano. But I think it is going to be because, like, Candice tries to get involved or something. Or I think it's going to be some other nefarious means, but not on Ricochet's part. You know what I mean? Like, something's going to happen to distract Gargano and Ricochet will beat him or something. And this is going to completely spoil my next pick. But I think we're going on to see Gargano Ciampa WrestleMania weekend for the big gold belt. And I don't think they're going to have both the North American title and the NXT championship involved in the same match on WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah, I'm going with Ciampa for the NXT title match. But one of the interesting things is that, as we just saw in this past episode of NXT yesterday, Gargano and Ciampa teamed up together? Question mark?
They did that during the cage match as well.
Yeah, so it's like almost like we're getting DIY back in a way, but...
But I think what's going to happen is... Ciampa could get involved in the North American title match, trying to help Johnny, and then it cost him. Or Johnny could get involved in the world match, the NXT championship, and it, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, one way or the other, one match is going to be influenced by the other match.
Yeah.
Somehow, some way. Like, and also, we're forgetting the fact that Aleister Black could somehow get involved in the North American title match. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility. So, it's interesting where I think this is the first takeover where two matches are so intertwined with each other that they can actually have an impact on each other legitimately, of going, here's this match, and then this can happen, and then it can fall out into this match. Like, when was the last time we actually seen WWE try to do something like that?
It's been a couple of times. But yeah, I think that they're gonna The other option is a triple threat Mania weekend with Black, Ciampa, and Gargano that we were supposed to get a while ago. And that concluding with Gargano and Ciampa getting called up.
And then they fight forever on the main roster?
No. They get called up to different brands. And then they get called back together in like a couple of years for a WrestleMania match.
And then they fight forever from there.
Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. That's cool.
But, and actually it was great. After their third TakeOver match, somebody created a artwork for an NXT TakeOver 60 poster.
Yeah, with all them looking old.
in their senior home and everything. Bravo to that person right there.
If I could fantasy book it, I would have Ricochet win the North American Championship match, and then I would have Gargano get involved in the championship match, and I would have it go to the triple threat we were supposed to get before Black got injured for WrestleMania weekend, because that the crowd would be hot as fuck for that. So,
oh yeah, just to see the match that we were supposed to get would be really cool. Yeah. And that was supposed to happen when SummerSlam weekend, I believe.
I think so.
Either SummerSlam weekend or no, it was supposed to be TakeOver Chicago. Mm. That's right. It was supposed to be TakeOver Chicago 2 because they changed it to that no disqualification match. Or the false count out or the last man standing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what that was. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, Black wrestled Gargano SummerSlam weekend.
Yeah.
So with that, we are done with TakeOver.
Royal Rumble.
Yes.
So just to recap, I've got Riddle, Ricochet, Undisputed Era, Shayna Baszler, and Tomato Chompers.
And I have the War Raiders, Riddle, Ricochet, Tommaso Ciampa, and Baszler.
Of those, the War Raiders is most likely to happen, I think, because I've got all the champions retaining. So, we'll see.
And then moving into the Royal Rumble.
So the Kingmaker match is the tag match, because we agree on all the others.
The Kingmaker,
The tag match is the only match we don't agree on.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
So, starting with the Rumble, you have the two kickoff pre-show matches. Mm-hmm. The first one being the WWE United States title match between Shinsuke Nakamura and Rusev.
Yep.
I have Rusev retaining.
Okay.
And it'll probably be about, like, 10 minutes.
I think I have Trent Seven winning this one.
Fantastic.
No. The problem is it's on the kickoff show, so I don't care.
Yeah. And then...
And that's not mean I'm not going to predict. I mean, like, it is a message that WWE is sending me that by putting title matches on a pre-show, they're not as important as the matches that are on the main show.
Well, let's be honest, though. Out of all the matches for the Rumble, there's only two non-title matches, and those are the two Rumble matches themselves. Every other match on that card is a title match.
But then why not just make the event an hour longer? You already do 9 hours for WrestleMania.
I think they're doing 5 p.m. to 11 p.m. for the Rumble, including the kickoff show.
Still 6 hours.
Yeah.
And only two of that is spoken for. Cut all the talking bollocks from the pre-show, right? Just have Renee Young and a microphone, right? He just goes, this is the card. It's really fucking good. Ding, ding, seconds out, round one. And he just have non-stop wrestling.
So who do you got, Nakamura or Rusev?
Rusev.
Then the second pre-show match is the Fatal 4-Way for the Cruiserweight title. Mm-hmm. Who seemed to can't catch a break and only has gotten a title match on a main card. As it will be Kalisto versus Akira Tozawa versus Hideo Itami versus Buddy Murphy.
In defense of this not being on the main card, there is a reason this isn't on the main card.
And which reason is that?
Pre-shows are free. Where does 205 Live take place?
The network.
So if you like what you see on the free TV, you're going to sign up for the network. They're not going to put something advertising behind a paywall event behind a paywall. People who have that already have access to 205 Live.
But I will say this, though. I would love to see the Cruiserweight title at least defended finally on the main card of Mania.
Yes, I completely agree.
Because the last 2 years, those matches have been hot.
Don't get me wrong. I love the Cruiserweight division. I believe they're deserving of a slot on the main. That was contradictory, where I'm like, oh, I love it. Yawn. I I super believe that they should be on Mania, and they should have a very good place on Mania. They've earned it.
So it's Kalisto, Tozawa, Itami, Buddy Murphy.
I don't think Kalisto's going to get it because he's in a tag team on Raw. And if reports are anything to be believed, we are going to see much more of a focus on tag teams on Raw now because of AEW and because of what the Revival did. I wasn't even aware Akira Tozawa was even still employed by the WWE. So it's either going to be Hideo Itami or Buddy Murphy. I would like it to be Buddy Murphy. But I won't be pissed if it's Itami.
I love Buddy Murphy as champion. I think he's been a great champion. But I think this one will go to Itami.
My problem with Itami as champion is you can't cut promos. It's the same problem with Asuka. They have all the passion you want, but you don't understand. Like, your average Joe doesn't understand what they're saying because they break off into other languages. At least Shinsuke knows a lot of English, right? Even if it is heavily accented or whatever. But sometimes it's not about how you say something, it's about what you say. So, I don't know. I'm going to go with Buddy Murphy.
I love Buddy Murphy as champion, but I think it's going to go to Hideo Itami.
Yeah.
I think it's his time finally to win a championship in WWE.
Can we take a break after the pre-show? Because I need to go do something quick.
Yes, we may.
Okay, thanks, mate. I'll be right
back. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, with that, we'll be right back from this break. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to Awesome Mania, part two of the recording between Ben and I in this Royal Rumble special. The first half, we took care of the NXT TakeOver Phoenix.
And the pre-show.
And the pre-show of the Royal Rumble. Now, Ben, do you think it would be fair to just start with the title matches and then do the Rumble matches last?
Yeah, I think that's how we should do it.
All right. Well, with that, we have one tag team title match, and that is the SmackDown Live Tag Team Titles, which features The Miz and Shane McMahon team besties of the world, I guess.
No, because besties of the world are a tag team in AAW, believe it or not. It's actually the name of a tag team already.
Well, we'll figure out what the hell the name of this tag team is.
How about a really good wrestler and Colonel McSweaty Bollocks.
Alrighty then. Take on Cesaro and Sheamus, The Bar, who are the defending champions. What's your take on this one, Ben?
Do you want what I think's going to happen or what I'm predicting is going to happen? Or what I want to happen?
What's happening?
What I want to happen is for The Miz to leave and Shane McMahon to get the shit kicked out of him for 30 minutes. Because this whole him being the best in the world thing is fucking stupid. It's dumb. We said it back at when I would like to point out how they've been referring to it on WWE TV recently was WWE World Cup, not Crown Jewel. Back in WWE World Cup. Dumbest shit ever. And it's probably... But I'm fully expecting Miz and Shane McMahon to win because it's going to lead into an angle at WrestleMania.
Yeah, and that's been the big talk, is that whatever is going on with Miz and Shane, it's going to lead to something, well, in their words, something big at WrestleMania. How big it really will be, only time will tell when we actually see that.
Miz abandoned Shane, and Shane would still win because he's the best in the world.
Honestly,
he's been the sole survivor on SmackDown Live Survivor Series team like 2 years in a row now.
Yeah. I think the bar wins. And the reason, as you mentioned, they're planning on something big for Miz and Shane at Mania. I think they're going to keep them chasing the tag team titles and then eventually get them at WrestleMania.
The problem with that is that's the storyline for a pair of faces. And as much as people like Miz, he ain't a face.
What can we consider them right now? Because the bar is still technically heels.
They're trying to position themselves as faces because it involves Shane and Miz sucking up to him. That doesn't mean Miz is a face. It doesn't mean it doesn't even mean Shane is a face. I mean, he fired Paige for literally nothing. He fired Paige because Baron Corbin was shit at his job. Fuck that. Oh, we'll have a new role prepared for Paige. That was like 8 weeks ago. Where the fuck is she?
Getting ready to promote her movie.
But still, at least like follow through on your bullshit. Twat. And the worst thing is, I used to love Shane McMahon. Like back in the old like ministry, when he was like corporate Shane McMahon, and he would do really stupid shit with steel chairs. Right? I used to love old Shane McMahon, like old Shane McMahon, back when he was like European champion and shit. I can't stand him now. Yeah, because we broadcast the recording of this live on 321_TV on Twitch, we've got a chat, and as Jordan is saying in the chat, it's a heel team versus a heel and a McMahon. So it might as well be four heels in the match.
My gut still says the bar wins.
Okay.
That's what I'm going with.
All right. That's our first difference on the main card.
Yes. Next up, we have the SmackDown Women's Championship.
Okay.
Becky Lynch versus Asuka. I think Becky Lynch loses, Asuka wins, simply because we know what route Becky's going. And I highly doubt that Becky's going to hold the title when she takes on Ronda Rousey at Mania.
Well, new information has come to light. today, Dave Meltzer, the infamous quote-unquote plans have changed Dave Meltzer, said it's entirely possible that Ronda Rousey is going to be done with WWE for quite a while following WrestleMania because she wants to go start a family with her husband. So that might change up a little bit how we look at this.
Yeah, and I read the same thing. It says now because of that, we may see the triple threat with Charlotte.
Yes. However, I think you are right, essentially. Right, I think Asuka is going to win. I think it's going to be because of Ronda in some way. Right, you can't have Becky lose clean, plain and simple. Like, there has to be a re, or it could be because of Charlotte, either one of the two. Right,
one way or the other, it can't be a clean finish.
No, if Becky loses, it can't be clean, it's got to be. Someone costs her. I think we'll see Becky win the Royal Rumble, and that's giving away a prediction for later. And I think that we're going to see Charlotte Flair do what Charlotte Flair does and goes, I'm Charlotte Flair, you should put me in this match. And then she gets put in the match.
I got some fantasy booking, but I'll save it for a little bit later.
Save it for later.
Yeah.
But yeah.
This is one of those moments where I'm actually prepared.
I think Asuka will retain.
Yeah. I definitely think Asuka will retain. And like I said, I actually, for once, am prepared to do some fantasy booking a little bit later.
What?
One of those rare moments. And then next up, you actually have the Raw Women's Championship of Sasha Banks versus Ronda Rousey. Now, originally when people saw this happen, people started assuming that this could be the leading up to the Four Horsewomen of MMA versus the Four Horsewomen of WWE. Mm-hmm. Doesn't look like we may get that unless it happens at one of the two pay-per-views before Mania.
Yeah.
That's the only way it happens, but let's be realistic. If they're going to do the Four Horsewomen of MMA versus the Four Horsewomen of WWE, it has to happen at one of the major four. Yeah, it has to be at a major match. Yeah.
Or a Survivor Series match.
Yeah. So, and I think Ronda retains simply for the fact that she's most likely losing it at Mania. But I think we could probably get probably one of the better matches out of Ronda with Sasha. What's your opinion on that? And actually, I wanted to ask you this. What's your opinion overall of Ronda so far? Because this will mark now that a year.
You should note that down, and we should discuss it in an actual episode.
I will do that.
I have a controversial booking, and I think Ronda retains, but I think Sasha wins the match.
So, like a no contest.
One of two things is going to happen, right? Either way, I'm saying Ronda's retaining. But Bailey's getting involved somehow, and I think it's going to finally lead us to the Bailey Sasha match that was teased like a year ago.
I can actually see that. All right. So yeah, I actually do see that.
Actually, let me think about that.
All right.
Now, even if Bailey gets involved, I think Ronda still wins. Because the thing that makes Sasha pissed is that Bailey got involved and costs her the match and the title. Yeah, I'm going to put my money on Ronda. Sure, why not?
All right. Next up, you got the WWE Championship match between Mr. He Gets Hit in the Balls a Lot Now Lately, AJ Styles, versus the new Daniel Bryan. And first off, I think we should do a memoriam for AJ's balls for this year. Because it's been a full year of nut shots.
As of WrestleMania, it'll be a full year.
I hope he's been wearing a cup.
He hasn't.
Yeah.
He actually put a post on Twitter about how he doesn't wear a cup. Someone asked him about it. He's like, dude, you get hit in the nuts so much. Why don't you wear a cup? And he actually answered.
Oops. Who do you got on this one? Daniel Bryan or AJ? Because let's be honest, AJ Styles is going into a shift in his career.
Yeah.
Where he may be... and one of the things I read is the reason he dropped the belt in the first place was so he could take a lighter load.
True, but at the same time, they've done this whole thing about Mr. McMahon igniting the old AJ Styles. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that would be pointless if he's just going to lose. Also, it would be really interesting to see how the new Daniel Bryan deals with losing.
That's a very good point, too. So we have, like, this interesting...
Because the money match, right? When Daniel Bryan came back, the money match was him against The Miz for the title at WrestleMania. The other option is, I can't believe I'm about to say this, a heel Daniel Bryan against a face Miz at WrestleMania for the title. And that Miz buddying up with Shane is what gets him put into the title match at WrestleMania.
It's interesting. I especially liked heel Miz trying to go up against heel Daniel Bryan on Miz TV that one episode. Didn't work out well for Miz on that one.
Who have you got?
I want to say Daniel Bryan. I think even with Vince McMahon firing up AJ Styles, getting this new AJ Styles, like the old like fired up attitude and stuff like that, I think, first off, this will be the match that tears the house. These two. And Daniel Bryan's going to win. I think Daniel Bryan's going to win in a controversial fashion. Probably another nut shot to AJ Styles. But
what if AJ Styles actually wears a cup this time?
You mean like that one time when Jericho did it against China? Like China goes for a low blow and she starts feeling her arm like she got hurt, and then like Jericho pulls out the cup.
Yeah. And then he goes to kick him again with the other foot, and he pulls out a second cup. And it's like that bit in Deadpool when he keeps punching Colossus and breaking different bits of his body.
Everybody fears the Tyrannosaurus Rex. Love Deadpool.
I don't know.
I'm
going to be honest, right? I don't like Daniel Bryan. And that's going to get me fucking lynched by a lot of wrestling fans. But I wasn't the biggest fan of his before he went away. He's not done anything groundbreaking since he got back, except continue to wrestle the exact same style as put him on the shelf. He's not changed his style one bit. And as he said in the Nigel McGuinness documentary, it's all his own fault. Because he lied on his fucking medical.
Yep.
Every time I see Bryan take a bump, I wince. I want AJ to win just because it means Bryan isn't having to wrestle that often. I don't know. It's sad to say, but I'm not a big Daniel Bryan fan. Like, I'm in the minority there, I think. But he doesn't do a whole lot for me. As for who I think's going to win, it makes the most sense to have a heel going into WrestleMania as champion. So Daniel Bryan. I literally couldn't. And that's what kills me. Right? I don't care. And we'll come back to that when we talk about the other title.
Right. Which we go with now, which is Finn Balor versus Brock Lesnar for the Universal title. And I'm going off the on the record of saying Finn Balor will not come out as the demon.
No, he's already said he won't.
Yeah. Because
you're going on the record after he has stated it as fact.
I didn't read that article yet. So, and it actually is important that he doesn't come out as a demon, no. Though, because we all know Lesnar is going to win. You know? I mean, it would be great if Finn won.
But
it is true.
When was the last time we knew anything about a Brock Lesnar title match? We knew that he wasn't going to win at Crown Jewel because Braun Strowman was being screwed as the next big thing. We knew that Roman Reigns was going to win at WrestleMania last year. We knew Roman Reigns was going to win at WrestleMania the year before that. Every time we've known something about a Brock Lesnar match, the exact opposite has happened. and they have done so, they have so pointedly built up the David versus Goliath comparison to the point of literally talking about the fable of David and Goliath on Raw, that if they don't pay that off, if they don't pay that off, they are officially fucking everyone.
Well, not only that, but to add on to that, the other thing is that we don't even know what's going on with Lesnar for Mania, because he hasn't been promoted at all for it. The only thing we've heard in murmurs is that it's going to be Seth Rollins taking the belt off of him at Mania.
No.
But even that's not even...
What we've heard... No. What we've heard is Seth Rollins will be competing for the Universal title. We haven't heard against who.
So, I want Finn to win so bad. I think the entire WWE universe wants Finn Balor to win, just to get the title off of Brock.
I'm calling it now, right? And you can poo-poo this if you want, but I'm going with my head on this one. I think Finn wins, but Lesnar keeps the belt. I think it's DQ.
Essentially, kind of like Balor becomes too much for Lesnar.
Like Balor is winning, and like Heyman hits him with a fucking chair from behind or something. Or Braun gets involved and hits Balor.
And actually, that's a great question. What role can Braun play on the pay-per-view as a whole?
Exactly what I just said.
No. On the pay-per-view as a whole, not just the match.
Exactly what I just said, because he's not cleared to compete. That's why they put Finn Balor in the match.
Actually, according to reports, the plan was always going to be Balor versus Lesnar.
Yeah. Whose reports?
I've read it on Lords of Pain.
Who were referencing Dave Meltzer, Captain
Plan. No, they were referencing Dave Meltzer.
Sure.
They're referencing, I think...
90% of everything will be traced back to Meltzer. Even if Lords of Pain get it off of Cage Match, get it off of BuzzFeed, who get it off of this, it will eventually trace back to the Wrestling Observer. But the point being is, even if the plan all along was Finn Balor, right? They did a shit-ass way of booking it. There is no way the plan all along was Finn Balor. This has gone back all the way to SummerSlam?
I think the Rumble last year, actually.
No. The whole Baron Corbin thing really came to a head at SummerSlam, right?
Yeah.
With him and Kurt Angle and everything.
Actually, no. I think SummerSlam was
anyway.
Versus Baron.
Anyway, if it was, if the plan was Finn all along, right, they should have sold Finn all along rather than have this come out of nowhere in the last 2 weeks, because it makes the Brawny Snowman look real bad. Basically. And you saw that Finn beat him on fucking on Raw. He hit the coup de grace. Like.
Yep.
So and for me,
of course Lesnar comes in.
For me, I would happily see Finn winning the match by DQ or count out. When Braun gets involved or Heyman gets involved. So I'm going to say Finn wins, but I'm going to say Lesnar keeps the belt. And it's going to be a huge, fuck you fans. You got what you wanted and what you didn't want.
So that leaves us to the Rumble matches.
Yeah.
according to reports, the women are going to close the show again for the second year in a row.
Okay.
I knew that would be your response to that.
Doesn't matter which title. Doesn't matter which Royal Rumble goes on last. It's two hours 15 odd minutes of Royal Rumbles. It's going to be boring after a while. And I hate saying that because I love Royal Rumbles.
So we'll start with the men's.
Okay.
30-man Royal Rumble match. You have R-Truth coming in at number 30.
Yes.
Randy Orton has been added. Titus O'Neil has been added this week. You also have Rey Mysterio, Mustafa Ali, John Cena, Andrade, Apollo Crews, Elias, Baron Corbin, Jinder Mahal, Bobby Lashley, Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, Samoa Joe, Drew McIntyre. The New Day? I'm doing that with a question mark.
All three of them have announced, yes.
Three of them have announced, but will all three actually go in?
Yeah, they've all announced that they're going to be in the Royal Rumble. They haven't announced what their strategy is going to be, which is going to be keep Kofi Kingston alive by acrobatic bollocks.
And then, of course, the last one to be named was also Jeff Hardy, with more names still to be named or surprise entrants to be put in. John Cena obviously is a question mark due to his ankle injury.
Which makes it more likely that he's going to win if he enters.
But so we have a few that haven't been announced for obvious reasons, surprise value. Who, in your opinion, will be a surprise entrant in the men's Royal Rumble?
Velveteen Dream.
That's a damn good one. That's a damn good one.
And I genuinely mean what I'm about to say, despite my mean. I think Trent Seven is going to come in at number 7.
Kind of like how Ty Dillinger was
number 10. Number 10, yeah.
That actually would be really cool to see that happen. I also have another theory,
right? Now, bear with me on this. I genuinely believe R-Truth's not coming out at number 30. I think someone else is coming out at number 30.
Hear me out.
I think R-Truth's going to try and come out at number 30 of the women's Royal Rumble because he's a fucking idiot. And come out and be like, no, this is my spot. And he's going to be like, but I didn't come out earlier because I wasn't in that Royal Rumble.
Honestly, though, I actually had something else planned for the 30 spot, but not for the men's Rumble, but for the women's.
Okay.
So, but I like your idea, though. That's it works for the character.
Yeah. I genuinely believe we'll see Adam Cole again because he got such a good reaction last year. I think they're going to put Velveteen Dream in just because of the reaction he'll get. We might see a couple of new signings, maybe.
I think with all the stuff that's been going on the internet, I think this is where Lars Sullivan debuts.
Maybe, if he's over his anxiety stuff.
I hope so. That's a tough thing to have happen. Do you think a legend enters the match?
Define legend.
Somebody from the... Or not a legend, but a past superstar, I guess.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be something like that. But it depends on your definition of legend.
Well, it ain't going to be Shawn Michaels, that's for damn sure. Who do you think could potentially win?
The Rumble?
Yeah. Because who the hell knows? Because nobody saw Shinsuke last year winning it. Except for you.
It's one or two people. Let's see who you got, and let's see if my stack up.
So I'm kind of torn on this one. I have a feeling it's going to be Seth Rollins, but the person who I'd like to see win it would be Jeff Hardy. Because, and here's why. Jeff is in his early 40s. You could tell that they're slowing down with him. I know that you're laughing hysterically at me right now.
Keep going.
I hate you so much.
No, this is good.
So, okay, let's be realistic. Jeff Hardy's in his early 40s. He's slowing down. He's doing the Swanton Bomb less often. He actually has a new finisher that he uses at house shows and such, so he doesn't have to do the Swanton much anymore. And I think it would be really cool for a last moment where Jeff Hardy wins the Rumble. He's the face that goes into Mania against a heel Daniel Bryan. The storyline there alone would write itself between how Daniel Bryan is and how Jeff Hardy is, with the two completely different personalities.
But they've just done that storyline with Samoa Joe. They've just done literally the fucking, like, you drink and use drugs and stuff. That's bad storyline.
No, I didn't like how they did the Samoa Joe thing.
It doesn't matter if how they did it. They just did.
But with Daniel Bryan being more like the eco-activist and everything like that, and how Jeff Hardy does like his landscaping of his home, how he has like the dirt bike track, and how he does all of his art in the world, I could see Daniel Bryan using that as his attack on Jeff.
Jeff wouldn't care.
So, but it's something I would like to
see. Waste. Jeff hasn't wrestled a decent match since... When did the Hardy Boys come back?
WrestleMania 33?
WrestleMania 33!
I don't know. That's just me.
If you're going to have something like that, right? Don't have Jeff win it through a Royal Rumble. Have him win it through winning matches on a show. Because you can show him... You can show the story of his body breaking down better that way. Right? The problem with winning it through a Royal Rumble is if anyone's in there for more than like 20 minutes, they're shagged and fucked out, right? So, the better way to do, if that's what you want, is your SmackDown storyline, you would do that through a series of matches on SmackDown. You would have Jeff earn the shot rather than just win the Royal Rumble. The two people I think can legitimately win this are Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre.
Which are like the two favorites.
Yeah. For a reason. Because it is believable that either of them could take the title off Brock. Seth, because he's been close to doing it before. And Drew McIntyre, because he's a psychopath. Outliers include, just because I think Vince would get off on it, Rey Mysterio, because Rey Mysterio against Brock Lesnar would be hilarious. But they're apparently going to be putting Rey and Andrade in a tag team.
And a faction with Sin Cara.
No.
Yeah, that's what I read this afternoon. It's Sin Cara, Rey Mysterio, and Andrade as a faction. Or as a stable. With the
that plan- kind of goes against the point of the Andrade-Rey tag team. Because the point of Andrade-Rey tag team is Rey going, yeah, this is the next big lucha guy. And to have a third person in that stable kind of defeats the point.
Well, apparently they've been wanting to do something with Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara for a long time, too.
The problem with that is Sin Cara is bad.
But, I mean, the one thing I read...
Not to put too fine a point on it,
I mean,
Sin Cara is bad.
But from what I read, though, what they plan on doing with Andrade, Rey, and Sin Cara... is one way or the other, Andrade is the one coming out of that group.
Yeah, absolutely.
That will be the guy. This is supposed to help him get that big singles push this year by putting him with both of them.
Or next year. He's got to spend a while with Ray to get the rub. Yeah.
But hey, those matches on SmackDown, holy shit. Just keep getting best of seven. I saw somebody tweet that. A best of seven between Andrade and Rey Mysterio.
Chef's kiss. As for who could win the Royal, it could be someone from SmackDown. Realistically, the only person from SmackDown it could be is Randy Orton. Of the people we know who are in it right now. Right?
Right. Yeah, because so far for SmackDown, you have R-Truth, Orton, Mysterio, Mustafa Ali, Andrade.
Is Joe in there?
Samoa Joe.
Joe might win it.
All three members of New Day and Jeff Hardy. Those are the only ones from SmackDown announced so far.
Yeah. Realistically, the winner will be... If it comes from SmackDown, it'll be Randy or Samoa Joe. Of those announced, I'm just going to put that caveat in there.
We don't know who else from SmackDown could potentially enter.
Yeah. Or does John Cena count as a SmackDown guy, even though he's a free agent or something? I don't fucking know. But yeah, the two realistic picks are Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre.
So, moving on to the women's, you have Carmella coming in at number 30.
You mean R-Truth?
One or the other. Lacey Evans, Bayley, Tamina Snuka, Lana, Sonya Deville, Mandy Rose, Dana
Brooke. This is the same Lana, I would like to point out, who was, quote-unquote, put on the shelf by taking a single back bump.
Dana Brooke, Sarah Logan, Ruby Riott, Liv Morgan, Ember Moon, Peyton Royce, Billy Kay, Alicia Fox, Natalya, Mickey James, Nia Jax, Nikki Cross, Naomi, Zelina Vega, Charlotte Flair, and obviously to be announced. Oh, I forgot a name. Alexa Bliss. Do you feel that they wrecked that and that they should not have announced it on Raw and had that be a surprise?
They did the absolutely right thing.
By announcing it on
Raw. I think this is the start of a face turn for Alexa. Did you hear the pop she got?
Definitely. I heard the pop. But I think the pop would have been louder if she was a surprise entrant.
Yeah. Because now... Because she made the announcement and got cut off by Lacey Evans. Now she shows up, ditches Lacey Evans, and she's on Dream Street.
Yeah. Obviously, there's names that haven't been announced yet. Rumors fueled by the person doing it on Twitter, Alunda Blaze, potentially entering. I don't see why not of putting Trish and Lita back.
Be real here for a minute, right? This is a 30-man Royal Rumble. Woman Royal Rumble. You have named 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7,
there's
8.
21 already, 22 named.
Yeah.
23 named.
So there's a lot of space left.
You would expect maybe two people from NXT, like they did last year.
Who?
Shayna Baszler.
Why? They didn't bring any champions from NXT last year.
Yeah, they did. They brought in... Oh, no. Ember Moon had just lost the title.
And they didn't bring her up. Well, she lost it the night before.
Yeah.
Then they brought her onto the Royal Rumble. There were no NXT champions in the Royal Rumble last year.
Andrade for the men's.
Andrade was not champion at the time.
Yes, he was. He handed the title belt right to Zelina Vega.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, he was. He lost the belt at TakeOver Mania weekend.
All right.
Yeah, so So Andrade went in as NXT champion, the men's one last year.
Yeah, I don't think they'll bring up Shayna Baszler. They're not going to put Baszler and Rousey on the same show until, if they do the MMA thing. That could be another way of Sasha winning without taking the belt, is the other horsewomen get involved.
Yeah. Now, one of the things I was saying, obviously you had the thing about R-Truth coming out number 30 in place of Carmella because it works for his character. My thing is actually Becky Lynch destroys Carmella backstage and takes the spot.
Nope. That completely defeats Becky's character. And it kills Carmella. The whole thing that got the Becky Lynch, the man, over, is that she never was handed anything. She never got inserted into anything. She earned everything she got, right? So her just rocking up and assuming someone else's shot goes against the character of the man, right? And they've worked so hard over the last year to get Carmella to a point where she hung. Now, I can't believe I'm about to say these words. She hung with Becky and Charlotte in a wrestling match.
Yep.
Right? To have her get destroyed like that, no way. If Becky is winning the Royal Rumble, she's doing it from like the 27, 28 slot. Maybe the 20 slot. Like, she's gonna get fucked out of the title earlier, and she's just gonna walk into like Steph's office and be like, "You put me in that woman's Royal Rumble," or much unlike what Ronda did to you at WrestleMania, "I'll actually tear your arm off." And then Steph will get all smart and be like, "Fine," and you come in at number one, and Becky will be like, "All right, and I'm going to win the whole fucking thing. Because I'm Becky fucking Lynch. And I am the only person in this entire organization that deserves to main event WrestleMania."
Now, I think we both agree that Becky will win the Rumble.
If she's in it.
If she's in it. If not, Charlotte.
Yeah.
Now, I'm actually... I mentioned I did some like fantasy booking for this one.
Okay.
And you could put Charlotte or Becky in either role for this. Obviously, they'll choose Ronda Rousey. So let's go with Charlotte wins. Becky doesn't get put in the match. Charlotte wins the Rumble. She chooses that she's going to go after Ronda Rousey. Mm-hmm. I would bring back an old storyline that actually would work to put them into the triple threat. The Chris Benoit, Shawn Michaels, Triple H storyline. Because Becky could play the role of somebody who has not had that opportunity to take on Ronda Rousey and would want to be in there.
The problem with that, right? The small eatancy-beatancy problem with that is that Benoit won the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, and Charlotte would be in the role of Benoit.
But that makes Charlotte the face.
I don't think we're going to win on this one, on the face versus heel thing with Ronda.
But we are. But we do. Because you do the exact same thing as happened at fucking SummerSlam. You have Becky earn the title shot, and you have Charlotte just put in the match because she's Charlotte Flair and she's going to be there for every big first of the fucking women's division. Because she's a Flair.
So then we need to have Becky win the match, the Rumble then.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way that's going to work.
Assuming it's going to be a triple threat.
Yeah.
The match is Becky, like the money match is Becky against Ronda. Right? A close second is Becky against Ronda against Charlotte. but the big, the match that everybody wants to see is Becky and Ronda.
And then, of course, Nia Jax had to screw it up for everybody. But also, that's a great, but, and one of the reasons why that's also the money match is something that you said back in November when I was hosting Derpy Mania at DerpyCon, which is that Becky has to be the one to beat Ronda Rousey. And the, and truly, the only way to really do it is by having them go one-on-one. Because it wouldn't feel right if Becky pinned Ronda in a triple threat. I don't think it would have the same effect as a one-on-one match would have.
Yeah. And it then writes a storyline for when Ronda does come back. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, and it makes it like, you know, if she loses, she takes time off, and then she comes back, and it's like, all right, it's the Vengeance Tour.
Like... Do an angle in the match where Becky, like, breaks her fucking arm. She does to Ronda what Ronda did to Steph. Like, full on, like, Ron, like, steel, like, Ronda goes for a charge in the corner, catches the steel, like, you know what I mean? Full on fucking, like, don't just have her go, oh, I'm leaving for a little while, bye. Have her, like, I need to take time off because my arm is fucked.
My arm, it's not there. It's just kind of hanging there.
It does no work.
Like, I don't know what you're talking about. My arm is just there.
But bear in mind, this is the woman who, the day after getting Pillman, walked out on Raw like nothing had happened.
Yeah, that really sucked. Like, I get the whole point of they wanted her to come off as the fighting champion and all that other stuff.
She wasn't even selling.
Yeah, that was like the biggest problem. It's like
if she come out and she was like selling the neck and like the arms and like all the kendo stick shots and shit, and still been like, I got beat up last night, but I want to prove I didn't get beat that bad and have a match, right? That's one thing. But she just walked out like she hadn't even had a match the night before.
Charlotte should have hit her harder.
We should have just fucking sent her. We'll talk about that when we actually get to what do I think of Ronda Rousey.
And that'll be on a future episode.
That'll be next week. That's been kind of... I think Becky wins the women's if she's in it. If not, it's Charlotte.
Yeah, I think we're both in agreement on that one. I mean, the money thing is on Becky winning the match. Because if Becky's not in the match and Charlotte wins, then you can kind of tell it's a little bit too predictable at that point.
Yeah. Who's your dark horse?
Ooh, honestly,
it's not Becky. It's not Becky. Not Charlotte. Who's it gonna be?
My dark horse, honestly, is actually Carmella.
Really?
Yeah.
Not for me.
Who's yours?
Nikki wants to play.
See, I was thinking about that one as well.
Like, what better way to prove she's a complete psychopath?
Dude, so Nikki Cross wins the Rumble, chooses Asuka.
Yeah.
That match alone would be amazing to watch.
But like, let's have a real first woman standing match. Oh, wait, we already did. Not that the WWE recognized that. Wankers!
But yeah, I think, yeah, that the Nikki Cross Asuka, that would be money right there. I would enjoy watching that match.
I love Nikki to win the Royal Rumble.
Actually, one
so
thing.
Tough for her.
One thing, like, obviously, you can only have one winner for both matches, obviously.
Mm.
But one thing that does come out.
Unless you pull a Lex Luger Bret Hart.
Yeah, that's true. But one thing that we do always keep an eye out for is.
What if that's what they do?
Ooh.
What if Becky and Charlotte eliminate each other at the end?
I think you're on to something.
And then they... predictable.
That's tough. But, like I was saying, who do you see being a top performer in each Rumble match? Because that is a big thing. That
you mean like the Iron Man or whatever?
Yeah, like the Iron Man. Like, who do you think it could be for both matches? Because for me, I think for the men's, I think somebody who could that would actually excel at it would be Mustafa Ali.
If he's in the match, Sami Zayn.
He is getting close to coming back.
We didn't
Kevin
know.
Owens is a little further away.
They did have those vignettes saying coming back soon.
Yep. Although the last I read, Kevin Owens sounds like after Mania, though, because he had the double knee surgery.
Part of me says Andrade.
And he had a good showing last year. I think he lasted like 25, 30 minutes last year.
You know who I really want it to be?
Who?
Trent, no. I want him to come in at like number one or number two and get to like the final two as the Velveteen Dream.
Ooh. That's definitely showcasing your talent right there. And actually, last time I think a one and two went all the way was Rey Mysterio and Triple H.
They weren't number one and two. They were number one and number four? Number one and number two.
No, WWE just posted a video of the top 10 number one and number two. Oh, no, it was What Culture. What Culture did a video about top one and two.
Do not listen to anything What Culture posts. They're garbage tier. You should be listening to Cultaholic. I thought the last number one and the only two people to do it from number one and number two were Bulldog and Bret Hart, weren't they?
I know they definitely were. Hold on, let me.
You keep talking. I'll Google because I'm not having to use a tablet.
Okay. So you're saying Velveteen Dream, which I think is a great one, especially if he's a surprise entrant. I still like the idea of Mustafa Ali because I think Ali having a strong showing, because we already can see that WWE is behind him. Mm-hmm. Having him have a strong showing in the Rumble will do just as good for him moving forward as well, even though he won't win it. On the women's side, I actually like to see Alexa Bliss. I like to see Alexa Bliss.
2006. You're right. They were number one and number two.
Yeah. So I think on the women's side, I like to see Alexa Bliss be the Iron Woman in that one. Kind of like how Sasha Banks was last year for the women's match.
Mickie James.
See, Mickie is like another dark horse to me. I'd like to see that happen, but you kind of know it's not going to.
Jordan, you've hit on something. Surprise entry for the women, Rhea Ripley. Maybe. Because we're not taking into account NXT UK.
Yeah.
Pete Dunne.
Pete Dunne would be nice. That would be a good one.
Gallus, the Coffee Brothers and Wolfgang. Who else could there be?
Actually, do you know who we don't talk about for the Rumble? 205 Live. The last time a 205 Live competitor was in the Rumble was Jack Gallagher. And that was like 2 years ago. So maybe like a Drew Gulak.
Was it 2 years ago?
yeah, there's some names out there.
Let me take a look at the... Yeah. The thing with 205 Live now, though, is a lot of their people are kind of going on to other shows as well. Like the Lucha House Party. Oh, Travis Banks would be great in a Royal Rumble. Zach Gibson.
There's a lot of names out there that we could put in this Rumble, but then unfortunately we can only have 30.
If Zach Gibson win it. Because he's Zach Gibson.
And then he says he's going to challenge for the UK title.
No, he challenges Brock Lesnar. Tats Brock Lesnar out of WrestleMania with the Shankly Gates. And everyone's like, who the fuck are you?
I'm the guy who just beat...
Shoes off if you hate Gibson. Anyway... I think we've given our predictions here. All right. We've given our predictions. What's one prediction you want to happen that you don't think will?
One prediction that I want to happen but won't.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Jeff Hardy one. All right. Because it's a prediction I have that I like to have happen, but I know it's not going to happen.
All right. Imagine this. It's not going to happen, but imagine this. Number 30. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Kenny Omega. For NXT.
For NXT? Oh, man.
What's Mike's Universal? Mike's Universal pick was Brockoth Lesnar. Oh, here's another quick prediction we can do. Who do you expect to see ringside at NXT?
Ringside at NXT?
You know how like they always have new signees ringside?
Well, there have been some signings... leaked.
So I mean, there's been a lot of signings. That's why I'm like,
yeah. I could say Nick Comoroto from Monster Factory and MCW and a bunch of other promotions. God,
I can answer this with one word. Kushida.
What?
Kushida.
Yeah, Kushida, yeah. But we all know he is definitely coming. Although, I'm glad you brought up Kushida. Because, well, it's not WWE related, but New Japan did announce that a lot of their Japanese wrestlers are not going to be at New Beginning.
Because they can't get visas.
Because they can't get visas. Kushida might have fallen into that same problem.
And he didn't.
You know I'm not saying he did. I'm just saying it's possible.
You know why?
Because Vince and Trump are friends?
Kushida ain't coming for work. He's coming to sit ringside. All he needs is a vacation visa, which he applies on the fucking plane. And even if he did, Linda McMahon literally works for the government.
Pretty sure Vince has Trump on dial.
I think he must have Trump on. Like there was that picture that was going around right after Trump got elected, where it's just the McMahons and Trump in the Oval Office.
Oval Office. Oh, and it's like
Stone Cold Steve Austin has stunned 95% of the PGA people.
He stunned 2/3 of the McMahon family.
Two-thirds of the people in this picture, including the president.
Yeah, exactly. That was great. I love that photo. But and I think there was X's on all the people that he stunned too.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to think. But actually, when you said Kushida, I also said Killshot, Shane Strickland.
No, he won't be ringside.
He might still be trying to get out of his contract.
Because he's still with Evolve.
Yeah, but the thing is...
wrestling Adam Cole at Evolve.
Yeah, but the thing is that Evolve is kind of with WWE now.
Yeah, but I think he still has a contract with Lucha Underground.
Yeah, and that would actually be the hiccup, the contract with Lucha Underground. And maybe Impact, because I know he's been trying to get out of those deals to officially sign with WWE. So it's interesting.
A single match decides the king of the card for both. Apparently. So for TakeOver, it's the tag match. And for... they're both tag matches. No. Because we differ on a tag match and we differ on Brock Finn.
Yeah, because I went straight up Brock.
Because I think Finn's winning, but Brock's retaining the title. And you think Brock's just winning.
Yeah. Because I think Balor is going to have a massively strong showing against Brock. But how do all those matches always end? Like AJ and Braun and Kane and Daniel Bryan, they all get all their good moves in. They have a strong match against them. But at the end of the day, Lesnar finds that F5 at the end and wins the thing.
Yeah.
And you can throw Samoa Joe into that list of people too.
So. Just pulled up the Stone Cold picture and it's so good. Stone Cold Steve Austin has stung 46% of the people in this photo, including the president. The other 54% are children.
So their time is coming.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, one of them might be Shane's wife. So I don't think he's found Shane's wife.
I don't think she's ever been in a ring before.
No.
Nah. Don't worry, those kids will get their time.
Yeah. Anyway, let's wrap up.
Yes. Actually, screw it. Ben, where can the people find you on the social medias?
You find me at Bob T. Goldfish on Twitter. You can find myself and Jordan Johnson, a friend of the channel, streaming at least something most days at twitch.tv/321_TV. In fact, on Thursdays, as it seems to be now, you can see us recording this very podcast on that illustrious channel. Wednesdays we record our 321 podcast, which is more of a video cast at this point because we don't put the audio out anywhere. Other than that, we play Diablo, we're doing some WoW, we're doing a bunch of other stuff. So find that on Facebook, 3 Topics 2 Guys 1 Podcast, or at 321 Podcast on the Twitzors.
And then for me, you can find me at thelindenbaum75 on Twitter, facebook.com/x75productions on Facebook, and of course, txhthockey.com, which is for my hockey show, which has now turned more into a blog that features a podcast, which also has a subsection for this show as well, which is txhthockey.com/awesomemania. So if you want to listen to our archives as more episodes come out, that's where you can go to find the archives.
Basically, it's going to be me shit-talking Walter a lot. Because he's bad.
Yeah, because there's only one episode in the archive so far.
I've got 100% record of shit-talking Walter on our episodes. My apologies go out to Matthew Gregg of Botchamania. Thank you. Seems to be his biggest fan.
But I am actually also working on doing an X75 archives where I can eventually be getting up the old MBM episodes up.
Wow.
and some old, and obviously my other podcast, The Experience. So that's a massive project that I have to work on when I actually have the time to do it.
That's great, dude.
Yeah.
Question for you.
Answer for you.
Do you have any con appearances coming up?
I actually have one coming up in February, which is Farpoint.
It's almost like I knew that. And I wanted you to plug it.
Yes, I'll be at Farpoint. It is actually 3 days, but I'll only be there for two. It is February 9th through 11th. And it'll be at the... it'll be in Hunt Valley, Maryland. And I'm blanking on the hotel name at the moment time. The Hunt Valley Inn. Which is funny because of a work reason. Because I worked with them. But the celebrity guest will be Wallace Shawn, Maurice LaMarche, and Rob Paulsen. And I know Ben's excited about the other two. Maurice and Rob.
I'm excited about all three of those.
Well, Wallace Shawn, as we found out late last year, is now also coming to AwesomeCon.
Yeah.
Along with Carrie Ellis.
I like... Wallace Shawn... I was talking about this with a friend of mine, and you can edit this out of the podcast if you really want to. I don't give a shit. but... a lot of people were like, oh man, I don't really like Wallace Shawn. And I'm like, you gotta have Wallace Shawn, because otherwise neither The Princess Bride nor Deep Space Nine would be the same, right? Like,
actually, one of my favorite movies with Wallace Shawn is House Arrest.
Yeah,
that I love that movie. It's him, Kevin Pollak. Anyway,
let's wrap it up and come back to talking about Wallace Shawn.
Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, with that, thank you for listening to Awesome Mania. And also, stay tuned because we will be announcing stuff for when AwesomeCon gets closer and we have more details on stuff. So, stay tuned. Until next time, we will see you in the ring. Time.